that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we hear from artist Jay Powells, whose politically activist artwork is now on display at 1078 Gallery in Chico.
So I fight the dragons and I storm the castles and I win a battle or two. Then comes the day it's time I'm packing up and I am bringing all my stories home to you.
And we talk with the director and cast members from the current production at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, Big Fish, the musical. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Opening tomorrow at Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, A Dickens Christmas Carol, a traveling travesty in two tumultuous acts. The Stikes Upon Thump Repertory Theater Company is embarking on their 15th annual farewell tour of the Dickens tale. Mayhem ensues as this professional troupe scrambles to keep the show going, as everything that could possibly go wrong does. This comedy starts at 7:30 tomorrow and at 2 o'clock Sunday. On the walls of the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit Fields, Farm, and Fantasy, featuring works by painter Dolores Mitchell, ceramist Margaret Allen, and art photographer Ann Mitchell. Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, Reefer Madness, the musical, is riding high at the Wismer Theater in the University's Performing Arts Center. This over-the-top satiric show is based on the 1936 anti-marijuana propaganda film. Tonight, you have two chances to take a hit off of Reefer Madness, 7:30 and midnight. You can succumb to the wicked weed tomorrow at 2 p.m. or 7:30. One performance Sunday at 2, then next week, three more tokes, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7:30. Chico's Blue Room Theater presents Twilight Zone Live. Submitted for your approval, the episode, The Obsolete Man. Enter the zone tonight or tomorrow at the special late night time, 10:30. The final performance is Sunday at 2. Start your holiday season at the Chico Center for the Arts with a production by Inspire School of Arts and Sciences, Little Women, based on the novel by Louisa May Alcott. There are only four performances, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 2 and 7, and Sunday at 2. You can find the Center for the Arts on the edge of the Pleasant Valley High campus. Tomorrow, at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, the North State Symphony, under the baton of new director Scott Seaton, presents Maestro in the Spotlight, starting at 7:30. On Sunday, the symphony heads north to Reading's Cascade Theater to put Seaton in the spotlight again, starting at 4. Tuesday, at Laxon Auditorium, Grammy-winning artist Melissa Etheridge takes the stage to perform songs from her new album, as well as some of her greatest hits. And she'll also share stories about her journey through life and the inspirations behind her songs. Take this musical journey with Melissa Etheridge, Tuesday, starting at 7:30. In Oroville, opening tonight at the Birdcage Theater, the Neil Simon comedy Barefoot in the Park. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Neil Simon commented, "I love living. I have some problems with my life, but living is the best thing they've come up with so far.
We're listening here to Jay Powells on guitar. He was once a professional musician, but now he centers most of his artistic life on the visual arts. Let's join our visual arts expert, Dolores, at one of the major galleries in Chico. She's looking at some paintings by Jay Powells and talking to the artist.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and I'm at the 1078 Gallery. I'll be talking to Jay Powells about his exhibition Interference, and that has a reception tomorrow, Saturday, November 14th, from 5 to 7 p.m. How are you, Jay?
Very well, Dolores. It's nice to be with you.
Can you give people an idea of the theme and ideas in your show?
The work is about a variety of different things, but mostly connecting to memory, what we choose to remember and what we allow ourselves to forget. As I'm working on these, as I'm thinking about our relationship to our personal past events or to global events, I think about them as different ways memory can be affected as we forget things through denial, as we sort of deny ourselves the truth, or deception, how we are deceived by either ourselves or by nations or our government telling us one thing is good or not good for us. I ask for people to send me images of national, local, or international issues that they thought were not really being properly solved or they felt threatened by.
And you have disrupted some of these images.
Yeah. The works that I have from earlier in the series have these colored squares over top of the painting. And then as it progressed, they became white squares because I thought that was more appropriate. Just an obfuscation device, something that would redact parts of the image and interfere with the viewer's experience looking at the image itself.
Jay, we're standing in front of a painting that really attracted my attention because it's so complex spatially. We've got a group of three women who seem to be guarding women behind a pane of glass. And then on top of those women, you have put some really rather disturbing white squares and rectangles, disturbing because they block our view of the women.
A few years ago, three women who were a part of a band in Russia called Pussy Riot were imprisoned because they sang a punk song inside a Catholic or an Orthodox church. Many people believe that the sentence that was handed down was not commensurate with their actual crime, but something that was rather forced on them by the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, kind of wanted to make a point about how people were going to behave in his country. So I had made t-shirts about freeing Pussy Riot. I thought it was an important thing that you don't jail people because they sing songs or play music. And when I got an image that was similar to this, I thought it was very compelling and I wanted to paint it.
Could one of the reasons have been because you yourself are a musician?
Definitely. I play a little bit now, but before I went into the arts, I made music for a living, playing in sort of punk bands in Boston and on the West Coast here, but also back in New Zealand where I'm from. And music's an important thing, and I think it's an important thing for activists, and it seems strange to me that when you play a song, you end up in jail. It just seems incongruent.
The title of this work is Papa Bear. Why?
Because it refers a little bit to the grip that I think Vladimir Putin has on Russia right now. In the painting, there's a small portrait that I put in of him where he looks a little bit like he's a Caesar, because I think he's sort of trying to be a bit too much like an emperor.
Jay, we're looking now at a painting called Landscaping, but it is pretty recognizable as a nuclear disaster at Chernobyl.
Yeah, this was an image that someone sent me of a picture of Chernobyl. There's a lot of information in it, but there's an interesting stark relationship between the architectural elements that are in the composition and then this helter-skelter quality of the melted-down part of the reactor core.
And how about that band of white, a very jagged band of white that runs across the top third of the painting?
Yeah, that's sort of representative of the horizon line, which is, you know, the most important part of a landscape painting, thinking about how the horizon line works. And that is just the idea that we forget a little bit about these disasters that happen. At one point, we're all up in arms to make sure they never happen again, but pretty quickly we forget about these things. And we're ready to move on to something new or do the same thing over and over again, and that's kind of the premise of the body of work, is how we have a tendency to repeat mistakes over and over, either personally or as a government. And one of the things that's kind of interesting about this painting is I juried a show up in Weaverville not long ago, and I sent them this image for their publication. And when I got there, they didn't publish it. And I'm like, why did you guys not use the image? And they said, we tried to download it a couple of times, but the whole thing wouldn't come through. There was a band in the middle that didn't download.
Well, there certainly is. And I have to say, when I saw this in quite a small version, you sent me a copy through email. I thought that this, what I then understood as tremendous disaster, I thought it was incredibly beautiful as far as color went.
I felt like the meltdown had to talk about the molten aspect of metal and concrete and everything getting so hot that it succumbed, became fluid and bubbled over. But also, my heritage is via New Zealand, but my father was from the Netherlands, so I have a close relationship to the Northern European painters. And color is one of those things I like to work with. And so the juxtaposition between cooler colors and then warmer colors, I think, or I'm hoping, sort of helps to describe the difference between the solid architectural elements and then this bubbling brew that those architectural elements turned into when they were not being guarded properly.
We're now looking at a painting called Uncle Tom.
The painting is actually an homage to the 9 people who died in Charlottesville, North Carolina, recently at the church shooting. And I think one of the great things that came from that was many of the southern states elected to take Confederate flags down from their state houses, and like Mississippi is elected, I think, to remove it from its state flag. So many positive things happened from that, and as a foreigner, I thought it was strange that it took so long to find that symbol universally offensive and to have it removed. I made paintings initially of the three civil rights activists who died in 1963 fighting for civil rights, and that is Schwerner, Cheney, and Goodman, and I painted them on the canvas in a light wash. On the other part of the canvas, I painted Judge Clarence Thomas, after whom this painting is named. Then I painted a Confederate flag over top of it. Instead of giving it all 13 stars, I gave it 9 stars to talk about the 9 people who died. And then I painted 9 large squares over top of that to speak about the 9 people who had passed away, and then smaller stars around them that talk about how the rest of their families are influenced by their loss, as well as the rest of the people. We were all sort of shook up, I think, by such a senseless killing.
Well, that certainly gives a lot of food for thought, and it's wonderful that you'll be here to chat with people in person tomorrow from 5 to 7 at the 1078 Gallery.
The 1078 Gallery is located on Broadway near 8th Street in Chico.
Behind a desk, I've always been a man who said that staying still was playing dead, the kind who's looking forward to the challenges ahead. People
say that's irresponsible. People tell me stay at home, but I'm not made for things like mowing lawns or apron strings. I'm my best when not at rest. So I fight the dragons and I storm the castles and I win a battle or two. Then comes the day it's time I'm packing up and I am bringing all my stories home to you. All I can see is miles ahead with miles to go. All I can feel is wind and sun and sky. Stop for a coffee, make a friend, and pray the day will never end. 'Cause there's one more adventure waiting around another bend. Where I fight the dragons, and I storm the castles, and I win a battle or two. But then a feeling comes like 50,000 drums all banging, bring my stories home.
I'm going to take you now to Theater on the Ridge, where their current production is Big Fish, the musical. It was on Broadway just a couple of years ago. And now that epic mythic story is on stage at Paradise's Theater on the Ridge.
I'm usually only thinking of my boy out there. Pray you'll come to me one day and say, let's fight the dragon.
And we're talking to the cast. So tell me what your real name is and what the name of the part that you're playing is.
My name is Luciano Castaldo, and I play young Will.
So on stage, you had to be the young son of Edward Bloom. What was it like developing that relationship with Christopher, the actor who played Edward?
It was very fun. We worked a lot with a father-son relationship and having fun with our songs with each other.
What do you like about being in a musical?
I like the energy that you put into it and making the audience very happy.
And now we have older Will. Tell us your real name.
My name is Brandon Larson.
So as Will, what issues do you have with your father? He's always telling big, larger-than-life tales. That bothers you. Why does that bother you?
Well, it bothers me because the biggest thing about, you know, when someone is saying something to you and it's not very genuine, you get that right away. And it's like, no, that's not real. Tell me what you really feel. All I want from my dad is just to show me that he really loves me. And he doesn't have to do that by creating all of these crazy, wacky stories. He could just be himself.
Let's fight the dragons and then storm the castles till we win what needs to be won. So when I'm old and tired, you'll do the job required. You'll be there telling stories to your son.
Now we have the leading actor from Big Fish, the musical, which is at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise.
My name is Christopher Jones, and I'm playing Edward Bloom.
Tell me about Edward Bloom.
Well, Edward Bloom comes from a very small town in Alabama. He is determined from this small town life to go out and greet the world and discover for himself what's out there. He has many experiences that are wonderful and magical, but they are embellished by his imagination. He has a very keen, a very big imagination.
Talk about what it's like for you being in a stage play here at Theater on the Ridge that mixes larger-than-life, fantastical people and characters with everyday reality. What's it like going between reality and enlarged reality in this show?
It's rich. It's very rich. This is a story about storytelling and storytellers, and that's what actors do. They tell stories.
Christopher, have you ever starred in a musical before?
I've had some really large leading roles before, but I gotta tell you, nothing like this, nothing like this show. It's just so unusual. They just don't write musicals like this very often.
And I have here the director, Shauna Jones. Hi, Shauna.
Hey, Tom. Glad you're here.
This is an unusual musical and one that's quite recently on Broadway. What made you excited about taking on this project?
Oh, my goodness. Mostly the size and the message. We have 21 fabulously talented human beings on this stage for the show. In fact, we have to house half of them in a tent outside for offstage access. So that's the size part. But the message really is entirely what it's about. A message about coming to grips with our own mortality and what it means to be a father.
Talk about working with those larger-than-life individuals. There's a witch. There's a giant. There's a werewolf. There's a mermaid. Talk about all these fantastical creatures and putting those on stage for the audience.
Well, all of those mythical creatures play very important roles in the stories that Edward tells to his family. And each of them have their own sort of theme to get across. So what we had to do here in our small space was find a way to make them appear as mythical as possible and as fantastic as possible. And some of the ways we do that, again, is through some pretty ingenious lighting. We have some backstage magic that I won't reveal that makes our mermaids swim and our witch very mysterious and almost frightening sometimes.
What's your favorite moment in the show when you watch it now?
My favorite heartfelt scene that really kind of brings it all together is how it ends, which is Edward's song toward the end when he really wraps up the stories that he's been telling his whole life and gives us that closure. We understand why he's lived the life he's led.
What if I said I met a witch when I was very young? What if I said she showed me how I die? Powerless in the face of it, terrified in the wood. That was where my life was changed for good. Hey, what if I said I met a giant wasting in a cave? What if I claimed I rose to be far braver than the brave? All my life of story, son, and everyone is true. So believe me as I'm telling you, to be the hero of your story while you may. Be the guy who gets the girl and saves the day. You don't need a book of Greece to teach you how to stay alive. Be the hero of each story you derive. Then forever you're the hero who'll survive. Every tale that you invent becomes a life that you make real, where each character you meet becomes your friend. You don't need to be a novelist to make believe what's waiting round the bend.
Be the hero of your story till it's done. Why go promenade when you were born to run?
If you understand this premise, you will never be alone.
You can conquer every challenge. You can face each stepping stone. Be the hero of your story.
I swore I saw a mermaid swimming in the mist. What if I told you she would be the first girl that I kissed? Out there in the water filled with eagerness and fear, here is what she whispered in my ear.
Be the hero of your story.
Be the hero of your story.
Be the hero of your story.
I know somewhere in the future there's an
me, filled with mystery and people I can love. I know out there on the road of life, I'll live the story I've been dreaming of. On a wing or on a prayer, you'll get there only with your voice.
Be attentive, be inventive, be the first one to rejoice. With the story in your heart, you won't need any other choice. You're a hero, fighting dragons, winning wars. Be the hero, and the world will soon be yours.
Big Fish, a musical of mythic proportions, continues on stage at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise through December 6th. It plays Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sunday afternoons at 2. For more information or for tickets, go to Theater on the Ridge's website, which is totr.org. We'll go out today on one more song from Big Fish the Musical. This is a flashback to the moment when Edward Bloom first laid eyes on the love of his life, Sandra, who will become his wife and the mother of Will.
Time stops when suddenly you see her. Time stops, and what you thought you knew changes, and life beyond this moment is better, bigger. Time stops, but still your heart is beating. Time stops, though you don't take a breath. She's there, is nearer, clearer.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio. And I'm Tom Kinney.
When fantasy is real, I knew this moment was expected, but this could be good.
That boy is staring and I feel a chill. I don't know why that boy is staring and the world is still not tumbling by. There's no one talking, but I can hear. Going on.
I used to see what lies ahead.
My life, my dear.
Now I just see this girl.
Could instead be unbound for something more.
Stop,
and troubles are abandoned.
Time stops the minute she runs.
That boy is still